bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study.
The light of the world is Jesus.
Welcome to the Lighthouse. So glad that you're here with us today as we start this Bible study from John chapter 3. But before I go to John chapter 3, I want to take some time and say to all the mothers out there, Happy Mother's Day. You are worthy of every bit of the praise that you get today, and even more so. We appreciate everyone who has labored hard, sacrificed for their families, made not only your family better, but made society better because of your contributions. I have assumed that the majority of sermons today in the church houses are going to be Mother's Day related, and because of that, I decided to stick with our regular Bible study topics. We have been going through the Gospel of John. We've come to John chapter 3, verse 10, and we're going to go through the 21st verse, which will end the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus, one of the more fascinating, important conversations that occurred during Jesus's ministry on the earth. It was one-on-one, a conversation at night, because Nicodemus was a little concerned about what his peers might be thinking. And Jesus addresses that. And that's where we're going to start our lesson today, reminding ourselves where we left off, where Jesus was kind of upbraiding Nicodemus and the rest of the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders for being so dull-minded, not being able to get the spiritual things that were being spoken of by him and his ministry. And some important things. He's talking about heavenly things. He says, your minds are so earthly, you can't comprehend the heavenly. Although, that being said, Jesus took great time to explain to Nicodemus the importance of being born again. And that was our lesson last week. How important it is to be born again, because Nicodemus had expressed some belief, some knowledge. He was at the very infancy of his Christian walk. And we discovered that later on in the Gospel of John, Nicodemus shows how much he's grown. And especially when we get to the actual crucifixion of Christ, where Nicodemus is bold enough not to come to Jesus by night, but rather to come boldly to Pilate and beg the body of Jesus for a decent burial. And he does that knowing that once he takes that step, everyone will know where Nicodemus stands. He stands with Jesus Christ. And so we're going to start with a mild rebuke, not only for Nicodemus, but for all who are rebellious against the truths that Jesus stands for. Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" Nicodemus, you're on the Sanhedrin. How is it that you can't figure out what I'm saying? How is it you're struggling so hard with the concepts that were so well laid out in the Old Testament prophecies? When the Messiah came, these things would be so. And he'll continue with that, a major one. Last week's major topic was being born again. Today's major topic that he's talking is salvation that comes by trusting upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. How God loved us enough to send his only Son, that we don't go to heaven, heaven comes down to us. Heaven came down to the earth in the form of Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life, and when he died at Calvary, he died so as a substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of his people. And so this is not only for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. And one of the major things that Nicodemus will learn is salvation is not just for Jewish people. It is for every part of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that includes the Gentile nations as well, which is very good, because the majority of my listeners make up that Gentile world. I know that we certainly have people who are Jewish by birth, who are listening to this broadcast, and we certainly welcome you. But I realize that the majority of people who are going to be followers of Jesus Christ are from the world. And here we learn that great testimony, God so loved the world. But we're still a few verses from that. We're in verse 10, and the rebuke is, why don't you know these things? They've been spoken of. Jesus continues his mild rebuke. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. And when he says we, I think he's referring to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Godhead has come. The Godhead has spoken. And you're not believing what God is saying, what heaven is saying. And then he goes on and says, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? I've got some important messages from heaven, and you're struggling with the earthly things. And how can you take the things that are more lofty than that, the things from heaven? And then he says something pretty fascinating. No one, Jesus says in verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. He says, you don't go to God in heaven and find out what God is thinking and what God is doing. Heaven instead came down to you, and that is the Son of Man, or Jesus Christ. Jesus was born and lived a perfect life and had his ministry in order to tell us what God has in mind. Now, what does God have in mind? Well, here is an illustration from the Old Testament. Remember, the mild rebuke was, you're a teacher in Israel and don't understand these things. So he's going to talk about some Old Testament stories. Here's one from the book of Numbers. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have ever eternal life. Here, Jesus is comparing the gift of himself by God that gives us eternal life to be similar to what happened in the Old Testament, where the people were under a threat of death because they had been bitten by snakes, poisonous snakes. And God gave them the remedy to escape death. That was, look at this instrument that is lifted up. And what happened was that God told Moses to make a brass serpent and lift it up. The same thing that brought death, the serpent, is now lifted up to give them life. And if they will look at that serpent, they will live. And so it's lifted up high so everyone can see it. Well, what is the correlation with Christ? Adam and his sin brought death to the world. We're under the threat of death. And one who looks like Adam, that is, he has two eyes, two ears, one nose, one mouth. He has two legs. He looks like a human being. Because he is a human being. Jesus, the Son of Man, has come, and he's going to be lifted up. Well, how is he going to be lifted up? Well, God has chosen that the manner of death for Jesus is going to be the cross, and he literally will be lifted up on that cross, and all can look at the cross and the sacrifice of Christ and have eternal life. Just like in the Old Testament story, they looked upon the serpent at the command of God. This God said, this is my answer. In the Old Testament, this is my answer, this serpent, look at it. And now Jesus is telling Nicodemus, I'm the answer of God. I came down from heaven to tell you that. I am going to be lifted up, and trusting in me is the power of the eternal life that you'll have with God. So that's verse 15. And it sounds a lot like another verse, doesn't it? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Well, this one says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Taking that same thought from verse 15, now we go to verse 16, the most famous verse of all. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's break that down by the phrases. For God, salvation starts with God. If God had not been merciful, if God had not been loving, there would be no salvation. God is the author of salvation. The sovereign God is our hope. If God doesn't act, we're in trouble. But God did act. For God so loved. That's the motivation. Our salvation is not something that we've earned. It is something that has come from the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. God so loved. Well, who did he love? Just the Jewish people? No, the whole world. That in every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe are going to be found the people of God. They are loved by God, and the provision of Christ's salvation is not restricted by any national barrier, not any skin color barrier, no language barrier. Wherever you live in the world, the salvation of God is a possibility to you. That is, that God's mercy has not been restricted to where you live. That God's love has not been, he says, oh, I'm going to shed my blood, but it's not going to go to Cuba. Well, no, it's going to go to Cuba. It's going to go to China. It's going to go to Russia. It's going to go to the Ukraine. It's going to go, we can just go through the alphabet. We can start at Algiers or Albania or something and go all the way to Zaire and Zanzibar. It is all over the world. Thanks be to God, because we live a long way from where Jesus walked and talked. And yet, I know I am saved because of what Christ has done for me and what God has done for me by sending Christ to die for my sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Salvation is centered in Christ and Christ alone. There are natural children of God. There's one begotten Son, his only begotten Son. There are adopted children, thankfully, in the family of God, and we get there because of the begotten Son. The only other category would be a created son, and that was Adam. But since Adam's time, we are the children of Adam. But the begotten Son, the one who was a birth through Mary, but born of the Holy Spirit, came upon her. The conception took place because God came upon Mary in the form of the Holy Spirit, and he was then born in the manger in Bethlehem. He was begotten, and God is his Father. And Jesus will use that phrase all the time, especially in prayers. Our Father. Got kind of off there, but it's important. His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. Well, it already says that he loved the world, but here the whoever, I think, is also to give us not only nationalities, but social and economic situation, or the fact that some people are notorious sinners and some are fairly good people. You know, there's no one perfect and there's no one who has not sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there are differences, and no, it's whoever. So are you a harlot? Well, you can believe in Jesus Christ. Are you a thief? Well, you can believe in Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because they're in the Bible as believers. Are you a tax collector? Well, you can believe in Jesus Christ. Are you uneducated fishermen? Well, you can believe in Jesus Christ. Are you very educated, a doctor? Well, you can believe in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him should not perish. That's our trouble. We were going to face the wrath of God. Not only do we die in Adam and have a death from this life, but we would be separated from God forever. We would perish. We would experience the wrath of God had it not been for the gift of Jesus Christ. And so the message of the gospel that comes down from heaven, heaven came down to give us this message, is you're not going to perish. You're not going to experience the wrath of God. You're experiencing the love of God and the mercy of God. You have, therefore, everlasting life. Now, some people, that's all the Bible they know. They've heard John 3:16, but it's important for us to see the surrounding verses, especially the ones that follow, because they're very helpful to our understanding of several parts of theology. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't have to. And we're going to learn about that in the next verse. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. No, the reason he came, he was already condemned. The reason he came, they needed saving. And there was only one possibility of being saved. And that was through the blood of Jesus Christ. So he has to come and shed that blood. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That is, again, Nicodemus, you think it is everything is centered, that salvation is of the Jews, and that's where it's going to stay. No, it's wider than that. The world through him might be saved. He is not only our Savior, he's your next door neighbor's Savior. It's throughout the world. Verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. That's the difference, you see. God gives you saving faith. That's one of his gifts. The Bible says, for ye are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not us. It is that he came to save, and then he gives, through the Holy Spirit, a new heart, a heart that responds. And we're going to talk about that in the next few verses, too. But here it's saying they're condemned already. The sin is already there in the world. What he comes to do is provide the way. And that's why he described himself as the way, the truth, the life. He who believes in him is not condemned. Isn't that wonderful? Just that our whole trust is in him, and if that's the case, we're safe. We're not going to be condemned. We're not going to face the wrath of God. We're not going to perish because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's very clear where salvation resides. It resides in Jesus. The Apostle Peter and John spoke, or Apostles Peter and John spoke about this to a crowd outside the temple and said, there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That is, if you're going to get saved, it's going to be in the name of the only begotten of the Father. It's going to be through Jesus Christ. Verse number 19 talks about the depravity of man. It said we're condemned already. Well, again, it's through Adam's sin that we're separated from God. And unless we're born again, we're going to love darkness rather than light. Jesus is the light. We are repelled by him. And that's what's being spoken of here. Now, all this instruction is to Nicodemus, who's having trouble grasping all these ideas. And I'm kind of glad he was having trouble, because I have trouble too. And by Jesus explaining it phrase by phrase here and point by point here, I'm learning a whole lot more about God and his salvation. This is the condemnation. This is what ails mankind. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. that is a condemnation. That by itself is that the fact that we don't seek out God. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God, according to the book of Romans in the 3rd chapter. John 3:20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. They don't want to be known as sinners. They don't want the word of God to tell them that they're sinners. They're perfectly happy with who they are, and they go on their merry way. But their way will have an end, and it's not a good one. It's a way of condemnation, a people who are condemned already. And so it's so important to have that assurance. I'm glad that these verses are in here. They're what we call assurance verses. They don't cause our salvation. Jesus causes our salvation. His blood secures our salvation. The Holy Spirit comes into our heart. We're led by the Spirit to Christ, and no man can come to God except through Christ, and all these things. And it's so necessary. What did Jesus say in last week's lesson? You must be born again. Being born again is the ultimate difference. When we're born again, we have the eyes that can see and a heart that can believe. And so I find myself often quoting John 3:16 to myself. Not so I'm going to believe. I've already have believed. I've been believing a long, long, long time. The majority of my life, I've been a believer in Jesus Christ. I've grown in my knowledge of him, but I've been a believer of him for decades. But I still rejoice in John 3:16 because it's an assurance. Because I'll tell you one thing good about the devil. There's not a whole lot good you can say about the devil, but you can say this about him. He is busy. He likes to work. He likes to oppose. He is an adversary. The Holy Spirit's an advocate, but the devil is an adversary. He's an enemy. He lies all the time, and he whispers into my ear, and he whispers into your ear. Hey, you're not God's child. Hey, you're not going to heaven. Do you really think that you're going to heaven? Are you really sure? And then I have verses like this that says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Well, I believe him. Whoever believes shall not perish. Well, I believe. You see, knowing that it is the believer that has hope gives me assurance. And God has sent his son to tell us these great things. Who spoke John 3:16? If you got a Bible with red letters, you see it's all red. Jesus spoke it. These aren't the words of John the apostle. These aren't the words of the Paul the apostle or Peter the apostle. It wasn't their idea. It is God sent Jesus to tell us this. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but has everlasting life. Do you trust the words of Jesus? I do, because he never tells a lie. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I hope that I'm helping you have more assurance by the way I'm saying these things. Because I want you to have that. I want you to understand that God has left all these clues to us so that we might know that we have eternal life. And we might know where it came from God's love in sending us his son. And might also know how wide the mercy of God is. It's not just a one geographic location, but it's found throughout all the world, if we were on some remote island in the middle of the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean, a little dot that no one even knows is there, that's not even on a map. If we were living there, the possibility of God's Spirit touching our lives is just as real as if it was New York City or one of the more Tokyo, or pick a populated city. It's the same. It is throughout the world. God has a people of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. Well, verse 20 is kind of negative, isn't it? Everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Jesus later in the Gospel of John, and we'll talk about it, says, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him. That's why, because we love the darkness by nature. But that negative ends in verse 21. He who does the truth comes to the light, that not repelled by the light, he comes to it, that his deeds may be clearly seen. What's the deeds of his belief? It's clear they must have been done in God. They must have been wrought in God. It must have been the work of God that made that happen. That's the difference. That's the absolute difference. Jesus came to this world. His own didn't receive him. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They didn't receive him, but as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Well, it tells us it wasn't because of the will of the flesh. It wasn't because of the will of man. It was that they were born of God. When you come to the light, it's evidence that God has been merciful, that God has done a great work. Salvation proclaims the mercy and love and power of God. There's nothing more glorifying to God than when a sinner repents. Believe the gospel. Bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study. The Primitive Baptists who bring you this program each week do so with the following conviction. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It is our guide for what we are to believe, and it is our guide for what we are to do. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and He is to be followed as Lord and Savior. And we believe that his salvation is a free gift of God's sovereign grace, not dependent on any work that we do, but wholly dependent on his finished work done on our behalf. We present this weekly Bible study based on the premise of Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light into my path. If you would like to contribute to the furtherance of this program, then send your donation to this address, The Lighthouse, Post Office Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. That's The Lighthouse, Post Office Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Or if you want to send a question or a comment to us, you can also send your correspondence to that address. We also have a webpage where you can access all our programs as well as other helpful information. It can be found at Lighthouse Bible Study. That's just one word and all in lowercase. LighthouseBibleStudy.org. Until next week, may God light your world.